Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Von Miller with the guys here. Happy Monday, Cleveland. We are set up for it was an exciting, I can't even say really weekend of news, like last 2 days of news. I mean, we're going to have to get into Quinshon here coming up in just a couple minutes. Kobe Altman, going to be your president of basketball operations. His contract says through the 2029-2030 season. And the Guardians officially to the All-Star break. We got the Home Run Derby tonight. We're going to throw out our predictions at some point before that kicks off. Got a lot to get to. Again, Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime from 7 to 11. We got Jax Gregory running the board as well. You heard her on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume with us tonight. And obviously, like, the news we were expecting to get over the weekend, right? And this all starts to break, going within the past couple of days. And, I mean, we had a loaded day on Saturday where I was like, all right, well, let's just hope we can get through Saturday without too much happening. And, well, lo and behold, no, we did not. We did not get through Saturday without a ton happening. I mean, we were bouncing everywhere under the sun. And then I get home to, oh, and Quinshon Judkins has a mugshot. That's not really what I was hoping for here. And then Sunday rolls by and we just keep getting more and more news as the weekend progresses. We get more and more information. And I mean, the one thing that we'll start with, we're going to get into the effect that it has on the Browns, because I think that's the more, I don't want to say palatable, but it's a conversation that actually makes a difference here. Because at the end of the day, the legal process is going to pan out in the way that it's going to pan out. But, I mean, if we're going to put any clarity on where we stand right now in the situation, is that you have to let it pan out. Because although, you know, Judkins was taken into custody, has his mugshot, there's plenty of flying around and plenty of doubts thrown out about the situation. We're not here to determine true or false. And the people who are on social media leaning one way or the other at this point, I mean, maybe pump the brakes because we just don't know. But his lawyer spoke, David Weinstein, about the situation a couple of times. Here we go.
It happened on July the 7th, according to the arrest affidavit. She didn't report it until the 12th. There was some type of a spectacle that she got involved in. And it wasn't until after that that you made this after-the-fact report. Well, the A-form suggests that there are photos and bruising. There's no proof as to when those bruises took place.
So there's a lot to go. Like, you have the entire five-day situation that plays out. You have, essentially at this point, it's he says versus she says, until at least as far as we know, right? We don't have the inside information that goes past it. So again, the only place that I really stand on this in the legal battle of it is just let things play out before we start jumping to conclusions and answers that are not yet out there and available to us, because we really don't know. Like, I'm not up here to tell you Quinshon Judkins is a terrible person. I'm not up here to tell you he is an upstanding human being and just a positive addition to the Browns roster, which a big thing going forward here is the fact that he's not signed yet, right? As many of the second round picks have not, looking for fully guaranteed contracts. But you just don't know. Let the process play out before we start drawing conclusions. But again, the more conversational piece of this is that we know two things are going to happen. We know that this is going to play out in the actual judicial system, right? He's going to be found innocent, guilty, whatever it is, and that the NFL themselves are going to do a separate investigation. And if we know anything, the MLB does not take these cases lightly. I think we can think back to Ezekiel Elliott, who is not found guilty at his time in Dallas, and he was still handed a four-game suspension, right? Because the NFL is making it very clear, which, as you probably should, this type of behavior is not accepted and you will face the punishment for this type of behavior. So Zeke served a 4-game suspension. So if I had to take a guess, I would say there's a really good shot that Quinshon is not going to be available to you week one or at some point this season. It'll probably be suspended for some amount of games, which I think bears the question of what it means for the Browns here and what it means for the actual team moving forward. And that's really the part that I want to attack starting out the show. 216-474-0092. Because to me, it immediately puts the Browns offense in complete and total danger. But like, you don't have this just rocket of an offense moving forward. A lot of it did hinge on, hey, we're going to go back to running Kevin Stefanski's system, which is going to be heavily predicated on running the ball. We are going to establish the run game, and then as we've seen in years past, you're going to use the play action to work off it. You're going to use the run to sort of open up the pass and everything else. Well, your main back was set up to be, as in a way, a workhorse back, be Quinshon, right? And whatever workhorse means in today's NFL, he was going to be the premier back in trying to actually make this thing work. I think it's really difficult to look at an offense right now and say, all right, well, looking at Dylan Sampson and looking at Jerome Ford, yeah, this offense is going to be just fine. You have two running backs who have a very similar run style. They're home run hitters. They're more just sort of change of pace guys. Like, I like them both. I think Jerome played really well last year, and I think Dylan Sampson is a really good piece with a lot of high prospects that fit very well in a complimentary piece to the way Quinshon ran. But you take Quinshon out of that equation, this run game takes a total flop. It takes a total hit as to what's happening for the offense. And we've seen a Browns offense that doesn't necessarily include a strong run game ran by Joe Flacco, which could very well be your week one starter. I mean, it was okay. The offense moved the ball, they scored, but you also turned the ball over a ton. You probably don't want to rely too heavily on your ability to pass the ball going forward. And it's just going to have to change the way you run it. We all know the way that the schedule opens up the year. Like, the only way, in a conversation we had last week or 2 weeks ago, of what is this sort of Browns team, where do they get to the point where they're actually just competitive, that all hinged on the fact that you have to play well out of the gate. Right? The very least, I think you had to go like 2-4 to keep a competitive season alive. Then you say, all right, well, you know, if we're just solid down the back half, maybe we could do something. When you don't have a run game, when there's nothing left in front of you, it makes the ability to do that much more difficult. And now that's the problem you run into, is, hey, the Browns' run game is being taken down to another rookie back who is not going to be used. He's a fourth-round pick. He's going to be used as a change-of-pace type of guy. Again, a complimentary role to Quinshon, who is a downhill runner. And now you don't have that downhill runner. And Jerome Ford, we saw as the lead back, I think we would all agree, despite the good numbers, the good yards per carry that he put up last year, I don't know that anybody was walking around overly impressed with what Jerome Ford is doing, going, well, you got to hand that guy the RB1 job. And right now you're probably handing him the RB1 job if there's no Quinshon. And I fear that without Quinshon, you're pretty much set up in a spot to be looking at a very similar offense that you ran, not schematically, but maybe in effectiveness to last year. Certainly an offense closer schematically and maybe by production to what you ran in 2023 with Joe Flacco out there. Guys, there's a very real possibility that with Joe being figured out, not just running 6 games in a Browns offense, he's going to struggle more, right? There's going to be more tape on him, more things set up to actually counteract what he does. And without the run game there to be the buffer, to keep teams honest, and the defenses that you're ultimately playing after week one, you're just not set up for success. Like, as crazy as it is to look at a rookie running back and say, yeah, the Browns were teetering on already being sort of bombshelled by the season and being woken up to a rude awakening. Like, Quinshon not being there to start the season could be the thing that sort of pushes it over the edge. And we're on July 14th. Like, that could be the bombshell to the offense that really stops you from being able to actually kick your wheels and get started this year. And if you're going to be competitive, forces you to be very, very good at football down the back half of the season. I don't know that I can look at this Browns team and say that they can do that. The offense is set up to be in a really bad spot, which in turn also sets up your defense to be in bad spots. Again, we watched it last year. We saw that play out in when your offense doesn't play well, your defense really never gets the opportunity to do so. So as much as this...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Says, hey, it's one rookie. We saw this play out last year even with a guy like Michael Hall where, yeah, he was signed and then he ran into his own troubles and he was taken off the field. Again, that's the defensive side of the ball. That's a defensive tackle at the end of the day. He does not play as much impact as your second round running back that you drafted. It's going to be really, really hard to make that sell going forward here, that things are just going to be great and things are going to be dandy and this team's going to function with or without Quinshon. The Browns put a lot of stock into their rookie pieces this year. They did. Needing them to come through and contribute. And right now, you're just set up in a spot where every single one of the guys that you take out is essentially a starter that you're taking out of the rotation. That is a starter that you're taking off the field. And yes, when you talk about skill positions and taking away starters, I mean, those are massive hits at what you're able to produce on the offensive side of the ball. You're once again putting a lot of weight on the defense and probably more than they can shoulder. But, I mean, you could have dealt with a slower start from Quinshon. No start from Quinshon is a big problem, and that's what he's facing right now after being reportedly in an arrest and taken to custody for domestic violence over the weekend. 216-474-0092. Is the Browns offense immediately in danger following the news on Quinshon Judkins? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty to get to. We have the station buzz coming your way at 7:40. We'll get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today. We have Chris Easterling of the Akron Beacon Journal joining us at 8 o'clock for more on the Quinshon situation and more on what the Browns offense is going to look like moving forward to start the year. Get a Grips coming your way at 9. We'll bring in Mackenzie Flume later on in the show for You Gotta Pick One. But right now, 216-474-0092. Is the Browns offense immediately in danger? And we'll get to what it means for Andrew Berry. Your calls and more coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys here until 11 on The Fan.
You don't draft a guy at number 36. You don't draft a running back at number 36 without the expectation that he is going to help transform that run game, be the number one guy. I expected it to be week one. I don't know if that changes given this weekend's events. It could if he's suspended by the league and not available week one. It could affect how the Browns view him. That's to be determined. But, you know, when you look at, okay, the formula to win games is run the ball a bunch and play great defense. You need that number one back to run the ball. And right now, I would say there's uncertainty with the guy I thought was going to be their number one back.
That's the voice of Scott Petrak, BrownZone.com, on earlier today with Baskin and Phelps. Like, I mean, that's the reality, though, is when you use that high of a draft pick, like, that guy's supposed to be really good for you. Like, he's supposed to immediately take off and be the starter. A second-round running back is the equivalency of taking almost any other position on the offensive side in the first round. Like, running backs just don't typically go in the first round. I mean, you had Ashton Jeanty this year and Omarion Hampton and Caleb Johnson. There's a lot of first-round running backs this year. But still, like, yeah, those are going to be guys who are looked to be immediate contributors, but so are your second-round picks. Like, those guys are also expected to step up and usually it'd probably take the number one role. And I think that was very clear and obvious. That's what you wanted Quinshon to do. Every time that we talked to somebody about the running backs on this roster, it was, well, Quinshon's going to be the number one guy. You're probably going to have Dylan Sampson in there as sort of the complimentary piece. And then the third running back, your change of pace back, your third down back was going to be Jerome Ford. And there's no guarantee that this necessarily keeps Quinshon out week one, right? Like, we don't know that for a fact. But I do think it's really difficult to get him in for week one with the amount of time remaining. I mean, we're coming up on like a month and a half. You look at Michael Hall's situation, which was resolved a lot faster than a lot of these end up being resolved. And that was still like right around 6 weeks. And he pled no contest. Right? Like, that was him going through and being like, yeah, basically, you know, whatever's on the table here. I'm not saying I did it, but I'm certainly not saying I didn't. Like, he sped up the process tremendously by going through and saying no contest. By the sounds of it, from what we're hearing from Quinshon's lawyer, that's not going to be the case. So that's not going to be pushed any further up. And again, then it's just, what does the NFL do? Because, I mean, you faced a 5-6 game suspension for Michael Hall in a much different situation. Like, there was a firearm used in the Michael Hall situation, at least threatened. It was involved in the situation. Yeah, it makes it worse, but you'd imagine there's probably some kind of disciplinary action heading Quinshon's way through an NFL investigation. It's just not the kind of news you needed if you were hoping and banking on the Kevin Stefanski offense to work. And I think that's part of it and what we're going to get into, that it does play a little bit more of an effect into those two guys as well. But 216-474-0092, I want to get some of you guys in on this. Patrick is in Hudson. What's going on, Patrick?
What's up, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate you making it, man. What's going on?
Nothing. I just, you know, man, I really love everything you're saying about the Quinshon situation. Super disappointing. I'm with you. I think the Browns were really banking on him playing early. I mean, playing week one and, you know, being that downhill bruiser. In a glass half full, I think that we'll get to see a lot more of Dylan Sampson. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence he's the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. I mean, you know, the dude's got mad skill. And unfortunately for Quinshon, I don't think that this is going to get resolved fast. And I think the Browns that are banking on him missing some, you know, minimum 4 games. I mean, the league's shown that that's how they handle these situations. So super disappointing. I was really ready for Quinshon to kind of take over the AFC North even and just, you know, just try running teams over. But, yeah, watch out for Dylan Sampson. I'm excited to see what he can do now.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a positive spin, and Patrick, it's a good way to look at it, and I appreciate the call. Like, Dylan Sampson still is a very good player. I don't want to take that away from him, but, I mean, there's definitely a significant difference in drafting a running back in the fourth and the second round and what you plan to do with them. Like, they reinvented the running back room, and again, it is very evident as to why they did it. Like, every move that they made in the offensive line and the running backs, it's like, okay, we're going to get back to running the ball. Don't replace any of the offensive linemen you already have here, because they're predicated on running the ball too. Like, that's how they were brought about. That's how you built this offensive line, was grab an offensive line who can run the ball. And all right, we're not going to bring Nick Chubb back, but we're going to reinvent the entirety of the way that this team can move the football by bringing in two young running backs, one which you hope sort of took on, I don't want to say a Nick Chubb role because that's obviously not recreatable, but that downhill north-south runner that you can get with Quinshon, and then he brought in Dylan Sampson. And again, he's great. It's just, are you handing the number one job over to him as a fourth-round rookie, or are you giving that to Jerome Ford? And either way, even if they're splitting the backfield, it's a big miss. Like, you're not just going to be able to rely on that guy to sort of be there for you when you were expecting it. And the Browns do now have to sort of react and take into account, yeah, we probably will be missing Quinshon. And I think that Patrick is right. It's probably going to be a minimum of 4 games. That's probably the easiest way to look at it without getting any further information right now. And you sort of have to bank on, all right, well, what do we do here moving forward? But we all know, like, as much as I don't think that Kevin Stefanski is necessarily on the hot seat right now, right? And he's sort of, they've said he's not on the hot seat. You can only believe so much of what an owner says when it comes to the job security of coaches and GMs. Like, you have to imagine a big part of the evaluation process of Andrew Berry was, how does this draft class look? And I think a big evaluation of, hey, Kevin Stefanski, what can you still do for me, was, how does the offense look? How do you reinvent it? We give you a few different options to get this team to be better, and then you're losing a second-round pick. Like, the run game is certainly going to take a step back from what they expected it to be. I'm sure what they've been preaching it's going to be to Jimmy Haslam and everybody in the front office, while taking into account that Quinshon was going to be there. So I think that's a big part of it, too, is you can't just count on these guys to be there. And that's not just me saying that either. Zach Jackson of The Athletic was on earlier today with Ken and Anthony and echoed many of the same ideas.
They owed all these guys a bunch of money, but they don't have them under contract. So there's going to have to be more maneuvering here. They just don't have a ton of guys under contract, period. You know, this whole window was designed for last year and this year. So we'll see. And without passing any judgment on what Quinshon Judkins did or didn't do, because we don't know. Right, like, let's not run from it. This rookie class being good might determine whether this front office has any chance to stay.
And that's, I think, very real way to look at it. Like, we've talked about it before of going through and, you know, fair or not, this rookie class is going to determine in a lot of ways how you viewed Andrew Berry. Can he draft? Can he not draft? And we all walked away from this draft, I think, feeling relatively good. Yeah, I don't know that anybody was just thrown aside by a lot of the picks made outside of Dylan Gabriel. And I mean, some people, I'm sure, on Shador, but everybody outside the two quarterbacks, I felt like the majority of draft analysts, just people around the NFL and fans, were pretty satisfied with what you ended up with. I think we all had high praise for Mason Graham, both the running backs you took. I don't know that anybody's really upset with getting Carson Schlesinger. Like, that was probably the most quote unquote controversial of the moves that you actually made in the draft. In terms of actually who you took, I mean, trading down from two is rather controversial. But from who you took, it was like, oh, you know, linebacker with not a ton of production in college, really only a one-year starter. It looks good. Like, there's a lot of hope around him. I think everybody was pretty satisfied with what you got. But it's going to be the evaluation of how they produce, and that's going to be the hard part now for Berry, is there's a good chance one, if not both, of your quarterbacks don't come through and give you anything. And there's a really good chance that, you know, if Quinshon doesn't play this year or plays significantly less games this year or any less games, that's going to be viewed on him. And I think probably where we talk fairly or unfairly is the way that you're going to view this with Quinshon missing games. Like, I see people throwing out the idea of, like, how do the Browns keep drafting players like this? How does this keep happening? Is this a problem with Andrew Berry? I don't necessarily know if this is a problem with Andrew Berry. Like, they've clearly made it evident that off the field necessarily isn't going to be their biggest indicator, and they think they can work through that. They made that evident with Deshaun, and for what it's worth, Deshaun hasn't done anything to really throw you off since he's been in Cleveland. I think there were flags with Michael Hall that we all sort of knew about, but the one incident with Michael Hall that cost him a ton of time last year paired with an injury, that's out. I think people judge Berry for that a lot, being a second-round pick. Like, it's probably going to be unfair to look at this and say, hey, Berry's just not recognizing the signs, right? Why does he keep targeting these guys? Because as far as I can tell, it was a clear path. It was a green flag for Quinshon Judkins to be a solid running back with no off-the-field issues. Like, we didn't really see any problems coming through with Quinshon. But obviously something pops up. I don't think you can just pin that on, hey, that's your coach's problem, or that's your front office, your GM's problem. Guys just end up doing things that don't pan out in the favor of everybody else. They do things that end up putting them in a bad spot themselves that GMs just can't look for the signs of and know that they're going to happen. So I don't think it's going to be fair to Berry, but I guarantee you that there's going to be not just fans and not just people that follow the Browns, but I guarantee there's going to be national reporters who look on this and use this as a way to evaluate Andrew Berry. And that's something he has to live with. That's something that moves forward with him. So whether or not it should play into the fact of whether or not Andrew Berry should keep his job after this year, I think it will. Like, ultimately, that's the guy you drafted. Even if you would have went the other way in a different Ohio State running back and got, you know, Travion Henderson, I don't think really did what you wanted. just schematically what you wanted him to do. But if you go down that route, it's a different game. Like, Travion's clear as of right now. No problems with him. You would have had a second-round running back drafted right in the same range who is good to go right now. So I think that is something that gets weighed into. Hey, is Andrew Berry going to be here? Should Andrew Berry be judged on this? Again, I just don't think it's necessarily fair. How do you expect a guy to know what's happening there? How do you expect him? Like, yeah, you have interviews and can use it as a judge of character. I mean, how many times have you proven your true flaws as a human being in a job interview? I would think not that often. Right? Like, we all have issues. There's all problems that we run with. You don't go telling your employer at the very first opportunity while
at Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're working for a job, what those issues are. And I don't think that, you know, even Quinshon, and again, we're in alleged territory. We don't know that anything is true or has happened, but I'm sure this was not something that he saw into his future of like, oh yeah, by the way, this could happen. Like, no, obviously that's not something that I'm sure he would hope would happen or probably would have thought would have happened. You just can't bank on those things, but you can't bank on them as a GM either. Either to know them, expect them coming, you're mostly evaluating the talent on the field, which Quinshon's undeniable. But people are going to put this on Berry. People are going to look back and use this as something against him, which probably isn't going to be entirely fair. Again, 216-474-0092. Should this be viewed as a negative on Andrew Berry? Maybe you think I'm talking out the wazoo. Or maybe you think that this is something they should have seen coming. It's also something we'll talk to Chris Easterling about coming up at 8 o'clock. But the Station Buzz coming your way as well here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on The Fan. Coming up in about 17 minutes, we're going to get to Chris Easterling, the Akron Beacon Journal, covering your Browns. We'll talk to him about Quinshon, what it means for the offense, and a few other things as this team gets ready and geared up, getting ready to go into training camp. But still got the Station Buzz to get to here in just a minute. But before we do, I do want to throw out there, Home Run Derby starting up in, a little less than 20 minutes as well. Do we have predictions, Jax? Do we have a prediction? Do we have a winner that we're ready to go to?
I think Byron Buxton's going to win.
Okay.
But I kind of hope James Wood wins.
Well, you're going to love that because my prediction on who wins is James Wood. I think James Wood will be
the winner. Again, I like a lot of these players in the Home Run Derby. So I'm in a tough spot of who I want to win. But I think I want Byron Buxton to win.
You want Byron Buxton or you think he's going
to win? No, I want Byron Buxton. I think James Wood's going
to win. Okay. So I also think it's going to be James Wood. The only thing that scares me a little bit on James Wood, and this is like the most niche Home Run Derby thing ever, is the just stamina attached to it. Because there's no idea, there's no question whether or not he can hit like a long ball, even though Byron Buxton does have the longest home run of the 8 guys in the field. There's no question to me whether or not he can hit a bomb and continuously hit bombs. It's just like, all right, when you're on swing number 60, he's still got the pop, which is the hardest thing to gauge for any of these guys. I don't think we have a ton, if any, repeat performers in this year's class. I don't know if any of these guys have participated before. I mean, there's always some wild cards. So, like, O'Neill Cruz is interesting. I don't know how much of a chance I really give him to win. I mean, he can definitely hit a bomb.
That's who I want to win. But I know O'Neill he only has, like, 16 home runs on the season, so I'm not expecting him to win.
See, that's the other interesting. Like, the heaviest favorite to win the home run derby is Cal Raleigh, who's leading the league in home runs. He finished one off in the first half of the record that Sammy Sosa hit. I don't really think that home runs like that you hit in a regular MLB game translate directly to the home run derby. Like, yes, power hitters, you have to be able to hit for power. But I don't think it translates one-to-one.
People are going to get so suckered into taking him. They're going to make a lot of money.
Just off of trying to get people to bet Cal Raleigh?
Yeah.
Like, I don't doubt that he can, but this is really the only year he's flashed this type of power. Like, I think O'Neill Cruz, if you made me place my money, O'Neill Cruz or Cal Raleigh, I'd take O'Neill Cruz. Like, any day of the week. I don't know how much Cal Raleigh's actually going to do this.
And stamina.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're talking about a shortstop center fielder. You're not talking about a guy that should be able to sit up there and swing the bat for a while. Should have stamina. I don't know if that translates directly into your arm, but, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's got a hell of an arm on him. It's O'Neill Cruz. Guy set the infield throwing record. Then they're like, you know what? Let's head on out to center field. If you go play the outfield, which, I mean, he is just fantastic as an outfielder. Great move by the Pirates. We see great things happening there. Unreal. So we have, I'll take the James Wood one. Jax, you want Byron Buxton.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
McKenzie, you want O'Neill Cruz. Which,
let's do it.
We're definitely going to set up with like a Matt Olson winner. Right, like Matt, he's
somebody else. Yeah,
what a catastrophe!
He's not even supposed to be here. The guy's not even supposed to be, and he replaces Ronald Acuna. And he's going to win.
Which would have been my winner. Ronald Acuna would have been my winner.
Do we know why he's not participating? Because he initially agreed to it, and you have to accept it. This doesn't make any sense. Bring back the home run derby is somehow becoming the dunk contest, or it's guys just being like, "Nah, I'm not going to do it." Like, why? Go swing the bat. Like, people are like, it changes your approach. How? You're telling me some soft toss in the random field on a Monday completely changes what you've been doing for the last like year preparing for this, and you can't get back into the cage and change your approach back from let me go hit bombs?
Didn't it kind of mess up Jose? Was that last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Where after the home run derby, he like was on a very cold streak.
It happens with a lot of the guys. It's very odd. I think because guys kind of prepare for it, which I just don't think you should do. Just don't prepare. Just walk in and see if you can hit bombs. Like, the dunk contest, you have to prepare for the dunk contest. Like, you got to know what you're doing. This is like, you either hit them or you don't. And if you fail, well, oh well, too bad. Just don't change your approach. I mean, you're seeing 60-mile-an-hour pitches. And that should be a literal, like, you take BP every single day. That change your approach at the plate, taking BP, being like, I'm going to try to hit a few out of here. Which, just about all these guys do. I mean, I've seen James Wood take BP. That dude just hits nukes the entire time. So just go ahead and do that. That's okay. You're perfectly fine. We'll see. I'm sure since we took three different players, it'll probably be Cal Raleigh will win now that we've talked about him being a sucker bet. He'll be the winner. It's just inevitable. But we'll see the way that pans out, and good chance that it probably isn't even over by the time we're off there, because why not make a home run derby 4 hours long? Everybody loves that. All right, let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today with the station buzz. All right, let's kick it off. Heard from him once already today. You'll hear from him again. Scott Petrak, BrownZone.com, on with Baskin and Phelps. Talked about the off-the-field issues for Quinshon, whether or not it plays into Barry and Stefanski.
I don't know where the Browns rank. I know that obviously we're so focused on the Browns that it feels like everything is, oh my gosh, drama. And I'm not going to ignore that. And the Deshaun Watson, acquiring Deshaun Watson with everything that he was going on, that everything that was going on with him, it's like that just tilts the scale so much. But if you took Deshaun Watson out of the equation, then, you know, I think the Browns are probably ranked with most teams. I would argue that I don't think it's gotten any worse with Andrew Barry and Kevin Stefanski. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I remember sitting in front of John Dorsey, having him explain the decision to draft Antonio Callaway and to sign Kareem Hunt, right, when he was going through his thing. So I don't think this is necessarily a Barry Stefanski thing.
I think it's just reality in the NFL. Like, you run into guys that have off-the-field problems, and eventually, you try to either give that guy a second chance to correct those or bank on football sort of overcoming those issues and then not playing a major factor on whether or not that guy's going to be on the field. You win some of those, you lose some of those. Again, I don't know how much you can put on Barry and Stefanski for this. Nobody was sitting up there going, ah, drafted Quinshon, huh? Well, not so sure I'd be trusting that he's going to be on the field. Nobody said that. Hey, Quinshon did nothing wrong at Ohio State. As far as we know, he did nothing wrong at Ole Miss. Hey, you trust that things were going well and that you were just banking on the running back being a good running back, but you run into other problems. This was not Kareem Hunt. This is not drafting Antonio Callaway. This wasn't, I mean, heck, even Perrion Winfrey showed more signs of showing problems when he was drafted. This is not one of those cases. There's things that you could make and arguments that could be had about some of the guys drafted or traded for. I don't think Quinshon's one of them. But speaking of him, Zach Jackson of The Athletic on with Ken and Anthony this morning. He talked about the contract situation and if Quinshon can't play, who steps up?
This contract situation with this means he could be in limbo and he could end up missing valuable training camp time for multiple reasons. The way I viewed this thing all along is that Jerome Ford is the Browns' starting running back until he's not. And that how quickly Quinshon Judkins goes from having a role to having the lead role was always going to be up to him, and how quickly he progressed and pass protected and picked up the offense and all of those things. So, you know, him being there would be a part of that. Using pick 36 on him, that means they liked him, means they had big plans for him. Certainly him not being under contract adds a layer of mystery and potential complication in terms of him being on the field if the Browns have qualms or if there is, you know, a drawn out legal process coming up.
And I think that's sort of the way, like, Zach viewed it there from the beginning. I thought Quinshon was going to take the job from day one. Honestly, I don't think Jerome Ford was standing in anybody's way. But I think you go back to that now, you probably hand the job to Jerome Ford other than Dylan Sampson. And you probably just roll through and say, all right, well, if Dylan could probably take the job, Quinshon, if he makes it back, that job will probably be his at some point. But you have to sort of figure it out. And the fact that he's not under contract definitely, I think, should put a little scare into people, because God knows where you can go for there. You don't even have the guy signed, for crying out loud. But last one here on the Browns, Sam Brookhouse of Sumer Sports on today with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. He talked about which quarterback has the best chance to be the future.
That would have to be Shedeur Sanders. I think this is going to be considered a victory for the Browns front office if Shedeur Sanders, or Dylan Gabriel for that matter, plays excellent downs. But again, when we're just taking a step back out of all the hoopla and the last name, Shedeur Sanders was an accurate quarterback who took a team that was pretty god-awful into a team that was contending for the Big 12 and had basically two Heisman contenders in Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders himself. I think if I were having to put my life on the line for it, I think I'd go Shedeur Sanders first as the quarterback of the future, just given all of the data and information that is out there that never really changed throughout draft season, despite him falling to the fifth round.
I think that's where most people stand on it. Like, obviously, you throw Joe out in this conversation. I think when we talk about upside, you throw Dylan Gabriel out in this conversation. It's a battle between Kenny Pickett and Shedeur. And, well, I mean, how much of a battle do you really have to beat Kenny Pickett out, and how great you can be further down the line? Hasn't shown a whole lot. Don't expect him to show a whole lot. I think it's a clear, in a way, answer of Shedeur Sanders. It's not even close. And that's not even the Shedeur bias coming out, which you could say that I have. I liked him throughout the process, but I don't know that there's an argument here. It's a high floor with a guy like Gabriel, a relatively high floor with a guy like Kenny Pickett. We're talking ceiling. I mean, Shador's a skyscraper, and these other guys are like a two-story house, okay? It's like, well, pretty good backup. Maybe he could be a fringe starter. Shedeur could take you to the next level. It's still a really, really slow elevator to get there, probably, though. Last one, real quick. Anthony Castrovince on with Ken and Anthony this morning of MLB.com, and he talked about whether or not Carlos Santana's on his way out for the Guardians.
I don't know what the market would be for him in trade. I just, you know, just logically, I mean, guy's almost 40 years old. He's got a sub 700 OPS, and, you know, if it's a lost season, if it's a season where they're just not going to contend anyway, I mean, you have to take advantage of at-bats and opportunities at the major league level. You have to find those for the guys in your system who are knocking on the door. So I don't know what that means for Carlos Santana, if it would be more of a reduced role or if it would be a trade. Maybe this team gets back in contention. It's hard to envision him going forward as an everyday player just because of his age and the production offensively.
Honestly, I don't have a problem right now. If you decide that you're going to go for it and you keep Carlos, my problem lies in the fact of Kyle Manzardo should be in the lineup every day. Like, that's the only thing. Carlos can stay. Carlos is not the big issue. it's Kyle Mansardo. If you can keep him in the DH spot and occasionally wrap him into first base, okay, fine. Keep Carlos around. He's one of the better hitters on the lineup. You just continuously find a way to get Kyle Manzardo out of the lineup, and that's what makes me mad. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we'll get to Chris Easterling of the Akron Beacon Journal. Going to talk to us about Quinshon's situation and everything Browns right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.